Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Michael Collins with Journey to Success, and I am the author of the book Ushering in the Golden Age, Elevate Your Consciousness. And to find out information about me, you can go to my website, www.michaelrobincollins.com. And tonight I'm interviewing Juliana Maceo, who is a medical nutritionist. And this should be a very informative call because Juliana has a very special approach to nutrition. So, Juliana, hello.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure.
Give them a little about your history.
Okay. Well, I'm a medical nutritionist. I have a master's degree in clinical nutrition, and I deal with weight loss and health issues, cardiac issues, diabetes, gastrointestinal issues, eating disorders, getting people on back to eating healthy, in a nutshell. I also do what's called emotional freedom technique and nutrition response testing, which I think we're going to get into the show as to what they are. And anyone that would like to contact me, my website is www.nymedicalnutrition.com, or my phone number, 516-593-5167. Thank you.
Okay. So, Juliana, can you just tell us how you became interested in nutrition and what was your personal journey into the field?
Sure. I think I was about 16 or 17 when it happened, although I didn't know it at that point. What happened is that I, lack of a better word, I developed anorexia when I was in high school. And as some people may know about anorexics, they know everything. I mean, we're counting grams of fat and protein and carbohydrates, and we're counting calories, etc. So, of course, it took a toll on my health, obviously, because I was at the point where I was either going to eat. That was my choice. You're going to eat or you're going to be put in the hospital. And that was not a good choice, as most people, I didn't want to go into the hospital. So what happened is I started toying with being a vegan and vegetarian. I figured I was going to eat a little more to avoid the hospital. And because I was so depleted, that did not work for me. A lot of that is a blur as to about what happened, because it was just, I had this obsession with food. Even though anorexics don't eat, we think about food all the time. We think about our next meal, how many calories we're going to expend in our next meal. It's just this horrific, obsessive condition. So I pretty much think that's what started my journey. So what I did is I ended up going to school for psychology. I'm thinking, well, I'm going to find the answer to this. It must be a psychological thing. You know, I'm going to find the answer to this condition that I have, which, of course, was not the whole story. There's much more to it than that. But I ended up going to Adelphi, and I got my degree in psychology. But I was still struggling with the food issue. I mean, I put a little weight on. I was no longer going to be put in the hospital or anything like that. But I'm still continuing, you know, trying to be a vegan and a vegetarian, which I wasn't very good at. I still didn't know what I was doing. So my health was still not that great. Skip over a few more years. I got my undergraduate. I went to work for a bit. Then I decided to go back to school for my master's in clinical nutrition. I'm thinking this is the other part of the puzzle, because if certain foods will create certain chemicals, certain foods will create feel-good chemicals, and certain food create really bad feel chemicals.
Right.
So that's pretty much my journey as to what happened. It took a long time, and some of it is a blur, because when you're in that condition, this is what you're thinking of. And by the grace of God, I'm here to tell the story, and a lot of people are not, so I'm very lucky in that aspect. So that was pretty much, in a nutshell, what propelled me into this field.
Okay, and just from hearing your story, do you combine psychology with nutrition when you see your clients?
I don't do so much psychology because I don't have a license in psychology. However, what I do use is a technique called emotional freedom technique, EFT for short. Are you familiar with it?
Yes, that's the tapping technique where you tap different points around the eye and things of that nature.
Yes, we call it acupuncture for the emotions, even though we use it in a whole host of physical issues, physical pain, cravings, addictions, improving your golf score, being more successful, etc. So I don't use a lot. Again, I'm not a licensed psychologist, and I found over the years that it really doesn't do much because I've been in talk therapy, and you're going to be talking about the same thing over and over, and little gets done. But with EFT, the emotional freedom technique, we're tapping on the body with the torso and the face and the hands, and we're getting rid of these emotions. We're resolving them because they're just stuck. We just keep repeating these patterns that make up our stories, and we're repeating the same patterns with different people. So basically, let's take weight loss, for example. Weight loss is half the battle is diet, yes, but the other half is also dealing with the emotions as why do people eat? We all know people that have lost hundreds of pounds over the course of their lifetime. Most of them, what happens, they regain it because we never deal with why are they eating? What is... You know, what's their drive behind their eating, their binging? And those issues are never released, they're never addressed, and they're never resolved. But with EFT, we get to the core, we release those issues, and then the people, you know, patients can get back into control, and they're able to get that weight off and keep it off.
Right. Now, what would you say would be some of the common causes why people are overeating?
Oh, my. Where do I start? Well, let's start with our toxic food supply, and I can't even call it food. Most people, to me, it's like spelled P-H-O-O-D or Frankenfoods. It's just toxic. I mean, I know you and I have spoken about this, but there is so much in food that's not real food. I mean, we can start with the refined carbohydrates, of course, which have zero nutrients, the trans fats, the hydrogenated fats, the high fructose corn syrup, the artificial sweeteners, the MSG, which is known to cause weight gain. They've done studies on rats that were not genetically predisposed to gain weight. And
right.
When they were fed the MSG, these rats gained weight. I mean, they didn't just gain a little weight for rats. They became obese. So MSG, not only is it a neurotoxin, that means it destroys brain cells, it actually causes weight gain. And that's ubiquitous. It is everywhere, which is why most people find processed foods tasty because there's MSG in there. These are flavor enhancers. If that wasn't in there, most of that food, and again, I use that term loosely, would taste like cardboard.
Right.
I mean, and again, we talked about GMO foods, which is another horrendous thing that, you know, we just can't put that cat back in the bag. That's not going
to
happen.
Right. Just explain to the audience what GMO foods are.
I'm sorry. Those are genetically modified organisms. And basically, they're not real seeds because they've been played around with. The biotech companies, we're not going to mention any names because we could get sued. they're telling us that we can't use seeds from our forefathers and our grandmothers, if you will. I don't know if that's a word. But anyway, they're pretty much forcing farmers to use these genetically modified seeds. And most of the crops, especially the largest crops in the United States, such as corn and soy, 99.9% of those crops are genetically modified. Now, these are very dangerous because we don't really know the consequences of GMO foods, but they're not good. It's probably affecting the whole DNA code, genetics down the road. And this is something that's in the environment. So even a farmer that has, let's say, an organic crop and his next-door neighbors uses GMO, well, there's that pollination that we can't stop. So most of the food is contaminated with these genetically modified organisms. And they're very dangerous. This is just, they're playing games with our health. And what's interesting about this is that Europe said no to GMOs, and Europe does not want any food coming from the United States. So over there, they're allowed to say no, but over here in the United States, it's the big corporations that rule, and they tell us what to do. And another tragic thing is because these biotech companies, they're worldwide corporations, a lot of these farmers in India, they're literally committing suicide over having to use these seeds because, first of all, they're losing their livelihood. They can't use their seeds from, you know, that have been with their families for generations.
Right.
It's very tragic, and it is so sad. It's heartbreaking to realize how many of these farmers are just massive suicide. This is what's going on.
Right. So basically what you're saying is anytime people go out to a restaurant, any place to pick up food, there's a good chance that the food that they're picking up has been genetically modified.
Oh, there's an excellent chance because it is not labeled. The FDA states that the companies do not have to label. And I know there have been websites with petitions to have companies label these. But so far, we haven't been that successful. But no, the FDA is siding with industry that they don't have to label their food. We don't even have a choice. You know, at least give us a choice. If you want to eat GMO, God bless you. But some of us do not. But we don't even have that much unless we know that we're getting it from organic, like a food co-op or a farm stand where we know to a certain degree that it wasn't intentionally GMO'd, if that is such a word.
Right.
But no, we have no idea of knowing. Absolutely not. But you can be sure that if you're eating the processed foods, the high fructose corn syrup and all the soy, I can guarantee you 100% you're getting GMO foods.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, just to get back to your practice.
Yes.
Now, I know that obesity is a big problem. You know, when we turn on the news, Michelle Obama has her obesity campaign.
Right.
Do you work with a number of children and adults with obesity issues?
I don't work with a lot of kids. I've had a few of them over the course of my practice. I get mostly adults.
Okay.
And it is a major issue. And again, there's so many drivers that cause the weight. You know, of course, we talked about a lot of causes why people are gaining weight, the MSG. They're just not real foods. People are not really getting nutrition in their foods. They're eating foods to fill themselves up. And some of that filling up is emotional filling up.
Right.
So that's why that's where the EFT comes in, the emotional freedom technique. But again, it takes the diet, cleaning up their diet, teaching them how to eat, talking about different lifestyle, meditation, stress reduction technique. And again, EFT is also a stress reduction technique.
Right.
And getting to the root cause is why that is going on, why that excessive eating, that binging, that self-sabotage. And then also there's, you know, sometimes people come to my office and I'll ask them, well, why are you here? You know, why now? And then they'll tell me, and I'll ask them, do you have support at home? Like if someone is trying to lose weight, and I want to know, is your spouse or your family going to support you, or are they going to sabotage you? Because that happens often. So you want to know those when you're interviewing people, especially for weight loss. It's a real big thing.
And let me ask you this. Just give us an example of how you would talk to somebody if they do have the support. And more importantly, how do you talk to people if they do have sabotaging factors at home, because I think that happens a lot.
Yes, it does. Well, if they do have the support, I tell them congratulations. It's one less challenge because the spouse will help them out, support them. So that's like it's a non-issue. If they don't, it becomes a challenge. I work a lot on the emotional freedom. I work on the emotional freedom technique because we can work on empowering the person, at least empowering with the reducing the cravings. So even if the spouse is there eating whatever they're eating, their pretzels or whatever, or their snack foods, if the person can control their cravings or they're more self-controlled, they're pretty much apt to not go for it. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, you just have to constantly be tapping when this arises. But again, you're not going to be doing it forever, but the first week or so, you really need to be on top of, like, you know, why this is happening and getting to that tapping. Even if you just have to walk out of the room and tap on that craving or that addiction, because you're going to come out stronger for it. So that's one aspect. And then the other aspect is that, you know, they have to talk to their spouse and communicate why this is important to them. You know, their spouse or whoever they're living with, their family members, that this is important to them. And if they love them, they need to support them. They need to, you know, make sure that they have the food on hand, or, you know, the person is allowed to have their exercise time, or allowed to go shopping and purchase their own foods. So it's a bit more challenging, but it can be done. But it's obviously not as easy as someone that's got support.
Right. And how would you then start to work with the foods? Now, do you have a particular food or a particular lifestyle? Because I know, you know, there are carnivores to vegetarians to raw. Is there any particular diet that you like to work with people, or do you use a combination? What would be some of your suggestions?
I do use a combination. I feel, well, most of the patients that I get, I've only had maybe not a handful, but I, you know, in the 12 years that I practice, I've had a small number of vegetarians, so I will work with that. I haven't had too many people that are raw, but most of them are just omnivores. And regardless, they're all eating really poorly. So my main philosophy is basically getting them to eat healthy, just because someone is a vegetarian doesn't mean they're eating healthy. I mean, I know I used to be one. What was I eating? Grains, starches. I mean, and I was like the healthier vegetarian, because most of them that don't know what they're doing, I see kids that are doing this, they're eating bagels and pasta and pretzels, and they think, well, I'm a vegetarian, I don't eat meat or animal products, but this is what they're eating. It's not healthy. So basically, let's get down to some real food. If you want to be a vegetarian, I will teach you how to do it healthy. If you're an omnivore, I'm going to teach you how to do that healthy. But basically, we need to clean up a lot of this junk that we're eating. You know, let's get rid of the vegetable oils. Let's get rid of the processed trans fats, the margarine, the high fructose corn syrup, the artificial sweeteners. We need to clean it out. And I don't do this all at once. I do it in gradients. Because if, you know, someone comes to my office and I tell them they got to get rid of a list of things, they're not coming back. It's got to be done. Pardon?
Let me ask you this. Do you make house calls to people? And go into their kitchens and actually, you know, look what they have and, you know, say, let's get rid of this and let's go shopping and put this in?
Yeah, I have done that in the past, and I had offered that service in the past. I haven't done that recently, but yes, I have taken people to Whole Foods. I've taken them to Wild by Nature. I've gone to their houses, looked at their closets, got the garbage out, started dumping things. I have done that. I have. I mean, that's an extra service, obviously, but I generally don't do house visits for the nutrition visits. If they're looking for a service like that, yes, that is available.
I
was just saying that I do these on a gradient. So every visit, we're taking something else out and we're going to add something to replace that, because you really can't take everything out. Then there'll be, well, what am I going to eat? And it's just too much. It's overwhelming, because food has such a charge for most of us.
Right.
You know, so it's just a gradient and slowly.
Most of our socializing is done around food.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you start taking food away or limiting diets for people, it also eliminates a lot of their socializing, or it also puts them in an uncomfortable position because, you know, they can go to a restaurant, everybody's eating what they love, and they have to be very limited and very cautious.
Right, right. And that's very uncomfortable. So I teach them what they could order at a restaurant when they're on a plan. And I don't, unless I do the very strict diet, which I'm not going to talk about on the show, the eating plans, and I call them eating plans because I generally don't like the word diet, they're modified. And I allow them one day to, like, enjoy themselves. Not that they're going to go out and eat, like, junk, like, a whole day, but, like, just have, like, a normal day. And generally, they'll do that for a while. And what happens is that after they've been eating so clean for such a long time, even like a few weeks after the detox, they feel better. That when they go eat something that's their body doesn't really like, they're going to feel it the next day. And that's what the amazing thing is. So I actually encourage them to, like, you know, go off their plan and eat something bad. They'll feel it the next day. It's really
right.
amazing. Yeah, and you really can't tell them you can never have something because, you know, human nature, it's like you tell us we can't have some, never have something. What do? We want it.
That's right. And then we start craving it.
Right, and obsessing about it.
Then we go out and really find a way to eat it and eat more of it.
Right, exactly. Or we'll sublimate somehow. We'll go shopping instead or, you know, go gambling. We can't do that. They're all cross addictions, really.
Right. And so let me ask you this. Do you ever deal with these addictions spiritually? Because we know the physical part in changing the diet, but and I know the emotional freedom technique,
mm-hmm.
but I also, do you ever deal with these cross addictions and bringing in a spiritual component so that people are not feeling alone when they do this?
Yeah, I do. I mean, spirituality means different things to different people, but there are some people, some patients, clients, whatever you want to call them, that I feel more comfortable discussing things of a spiritual matter with. Some people are just black and white, you know, or, you know, there is nothing greater than them. It's just here they are, and that's it. So those people, we don't go into spirituality. But, you know, the average person does believe that there's something greater. So I do recommend prayer, meditation, deep breathing techniques. If they're Christian, I'll recommend psalms, some baths with essential oils, some Epsom salts. I also recommend flower remedies, aromatherapy, because those are live and they have a spirit to them. So,
right.
you know, it's not tangible. So in that aspect, yes, I do incorporate spirituality. I mean, I'll tell patients to just go home, take a nice bath, light a candle, pray, meditate, whatever, however you pray, whatever that means to you. Absolutely. Because or there are groups, obviously, because I have some patients that have been struggling with overeating, and they do go to Overeater Anonymous. And by all means, I tell them, continue what you're doing, speak to your sponsor, go to these groups, do the work, because they have, like, really intensive work to do. Just to know they're not alone. This is not something they have to handle by themselves. There is help out there. So absolutely, it's a big part of the healing, because most people that, you know, they're so overwhelmed by their health issues or their weight, and they think they're alone, they think they're the only ones that are going through this, but they're not. There is so much help out there. And taking advantage of the spiritual aspect is very comforting.
Right. You know, we have a caller online, so I'm going to open up the line and you'll have
Excellent.
A question.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, caller.
Hi. Good evening. My name is Mabel, and I have a question in regards to, you mentioned about nutrition and eating plans and things of that nature, but my concern is, you know, are there any, like, cleaner ways to eat but that are budget-friendly? Because I find that to be a problem, particularly for me,
mm-hmm.
In terms of finding ways to eat healthier or just to choose foods that are not genetically modified. But you go to the supermarket, and it's sad to say, you know, all of the foods that you should not eat are, you know,
cheaper.
On sale, cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look at produce and vegetables and green things that you should be eating, they're much more expensive. So my question is more so in terms of, are you aware of any resources, any particular, I don't know, shops or farmers markets or things of that nature?
Right, and that's an excellent question, because it is so true. I don't know if you've seen the movie Food, Inc.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But basically, I mean, that's a fact that healthy food is more expensive than eating junk food, and that's just the way it is. But however, we should be looking at food co-ops or CSAs,
okay.
consumer, I forget what that stands for, I'm sorry, but CSAs where a bunch of people join. It's a community. I'm sorry, I keep forgetting what it is, but it's a CSA where we can get produce, local produce from farmers. So it's cheaper than going to the supermarket. And again, I don't always buy everything organic because
okay.
it just doesn't happen. What I've learned to do is the stuff that's not organic, like the fruit, I'll soak it in white vinegar and get as much stuff off as I can. There are some things that I need to buy organic, like berries, because
mm-hmm.
berries are highly sprayed. They're just a highly sprayed fruit. Those I just, you know, I don't have to eat 10 boxes of it, but the box that I eat, I'm going to have organic because I'm not going to contaminate myself with more pesticides than I have to. But I would look into the CSAs. Do you live on Long Island?
No, I live in the city. But I have heard of those types of programs, and it just seems like they're not, I mean, personally, as accessible. Like, is there like a website or
yeah,
do
I would look up.
It?
I would just look up CSAs in New York City because I've looked up CSAs in Long Island. There are several of them. So what you want to do is you want to interview them. Like, what do they grow? How do they grow it? Their prices? Do you have to put a number of hours in? Is there a yearly fee? Some of them have like a yearly fee, or some of them you could just put in a few hours and that would be your payment. Again, what they grow, what you're expected to grow, is there a minimum, is there a maximum? So in terms of eating a little healthier, even if it's not certified organic, because things that are certified, those certifications are going to cost more for the farmer.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, that price is going to be obviously passed on to us. But even we have local growers, they might not be certified, but at least we know they're not using pesticides. They're going to be local, so they're not coming from California. They're not coming 3 miles, 1,000 miles away, and we're going to be paying for, you know, the gas and all that those transportation fees. It's going to be a little cheaper.
Right.
You know, so those
local.
Are the things I would need to, you know, you would need to look into. And also when it comes to meats, just see if you can make some kind of a budget to at least do the, you know, free range, at least the chicken, because it's hard to find grass-fed beef. I mean, there are some food co-ops. And again, I would look into some food co-ops in the city because I know there are some that have the raw, grass-fed beef, grass-fed meat and pastured eggs and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely look into the CSAs. And again, when it comes to poultry, see if you can get at least without hormones and antibiotics.
Okay.
You know, it's not an easy answer. I didn't give you like the best answer, but unfortunately, it is true that it's more expensive. But you really got to budget yourself and say, is my health more important than, you know, some people just make choices. They want a pair of shoes over, you know, eating healthier. And I'm not saying that's you, but sometimes we do that. So we need to budget ourselves. And like I said, I do not, well, not all my vegetables and fruits are organic, but I do the best I can, especially with my meats, because the meats have fats, and that's where most of the toxins are stored in. So I make sure that at least those are without hormones and antibiotics. So you just have
Great.
To make some choices there.
Great.
Does that
now
help
I have
you a little bit?
Yes, that helped me out tremendously. And I have just a simple follow-up question. You mentioned
Sure.
berries. Is there like a list or anywhere that you can find it? I mean, how would you know which ones to soak and which one not to? Like for someone who's just starting out, has no
mm-hmm.
idea about, you know, nutrition to this level, like where
I
do you
there's,
get?
I think there's a website online if you look up, I think it's like the 10 worst lists, the most pesticide list. If you Google something like the 10 worst foods that are high on that list of pesticides, you'll get it. There's an actual list online, and I don't have a resource. If you want to email me,
mm-hmm.
I can locate it for you.
Okay.
Do you have a pen? I will give you my email address.
Yes.
You have a pen?
Yes.
Great. It's info@nymedicalnutrition.com.
Great.
Because there is such a list, and at least you can get started. Like, you know, let's say avocados. I don't get those organic because they have a nice shell. Or bananas or melons. It's really not that necessary. But the berries, you know, the soft skin, they're getting in there, you know.
Okay.
So you just want to make sure, especially the berries. Highly recommend because berries are so good for you. Massive amounts of antioxidants, and they're great for the brain. But you don't want to be soaking up, you know, extra pesticides. You're just, you know, undoing the good.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much.
Thank
Very
you.
Helpful.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for calling in.
Not a problem. Thank you. Have a good night.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, that was a great question.
Yep. And
unfortunately, it's so true.
And just one of the things I want to say for the listeners, there's a great farmer's market down in Union Square.
Yes.
The city. I know it happens on Wednesdays. I know it happens on the weekend. I'm not sure of all the days, but you can find out information on that also. So, Juliana.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay. My next question to you would be, what do you find are the most important factors in prescribing food? Because like the caller asked, a lot of people really can't afford, you know, food, and like you were mentioning in Food Inc., you know, it was easier for a family to eat off the dollar menu than to buy
McDonald's, yes.
Right. And then to buy a head of broccoli in the supermarket. So how does, you know, other than budgeting, realistically, how can people really start to make these changes? Because the dollar menu makes it so attractive for all these foods that basically are detrimental to the body.
Destructive, right. Yeah, it's a toughie because we don't start out all at once. We'll start out maybe with some fresh vegetables. Because some people, I mean, there are many people that don't eat vegetables. So we'll start out with maybe having vegetables a couple times a week. It isn't going to happen overnight. It's just not a process that can happen like that. So we just start out slow, getting some vegetables in, budgeting maybe the next week, getting some fruit in. You know, maybe as people start budgeting more and spending less on the junk food. And again, it really is tough. I'm not sitting here saying that it's easy because it's a real challenge, especially nowadays with the economy. But we have to look at our health because it's you know, most people's health is not good because of what we're eating and environmental factors and lifestyle habits. So let's say someone smokes, you know, let's work on that. And then we can, you know, the money that we would spend on cigarettes, we could spend on some organic eggs or something like that. And again, it doesn't happen overnight. It really is a process and it takes work. And it just really takes a whole household to commit to the program.
So basically what you're talking about is changing your individual lifestyle and then families coming together and changing the whole family lifestyle or breaking the patterns of the family.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. I mean, I have patients who, you know, some women, they're cooking four different meals. I mean, it's insane. So if everyone could get on board and be eating the same thing, there's probably more money for shopping healthier than as opposed to buying the junk food, because that does cost. It might be cheap, but you're still spending money on it. And we
right.
can be putting that money towards something healthier, like a package of berries. You know, I'm talking about berries now because they're in season, so I want people to take advantage of whenever they can. But the farmers market and the CSAs are great. And again, you really have to ask questions when you're joining or you're planning on joining a CSA. Because most people will just think, oh, it's great, it's going to have everything, but they don't. So you really have to talk to them and you know, make sure your questions are answered.
I understand. Well, let me just say, right now I'm talking with Juliana Maceo, a certified medical nutritionist. And Juliana, why don't you give the audience your information again, how they can contact you and how they can reach you.
Sure. My website, if the people want to look at it, is www.nymedicalnutrition.com. My email address is info@nymedicalnutrition.com. And via phone, I'm at 516-593-5167. Thank
you. Right. And my next question to you is, there are plenty of nutritionists, medical nutritionists out there. What makes you different? What would people get when they come to you that they wouldn't get from somebody else?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, basically, there probably are. I mean, there are tons of nutritionists and dietitians out there, but I would describe myself as a radical nutritionist, meaning that, you know, when people come to me, they're not going to hear the same spiel about the food pyramid or eating processed foods or a low-fat diet. They're not going to hear that. And some of them might hear things that is just totally contrary to what mainstream is telling you or teaching you. And that makes me really radical, because I will not hold back. And, you know, I've done enough research over the years to know that some of the things I say, I mean, I can back them up scientifically. So I'm not your typical run-of-the-mill nutritionist that's just going to give you a diet, give you the food pyramid, and tell you can get everything from your diet or you can everything in moderation. It doesn't work that way, because I really work on the whole person as much as I can. So your diet, the mental and emotional aspect, when possible, I throw in the spirituality. And it's, you know, a lot of things that I say about certain foods are still controversial out there. You know, and 10 years down the road, they won't be. I mean, I've been talking about coconut oil for, like, at least 10 years, and it was the most shunned fat for the longest time, thanks to the vegetable oil industry. And now everybody's talking about coconut oil. But 10 years ago, I was getting these weird looks, and they were saying, are you for real? So that's what I'm talking about. For the most part, I've been quite ahead of my time in terms of things that I've recommended to people. Like an example is vitamin D testing, something else I've been telling people for at least 8 years now. And I've had not exactly arguments, but I would say my patients have had arguments with their doctors because their doctors wouldn't write them a prescription to get a blood test. And now what's the big talk the past 3-4 years of vitamin D?
Right.
So I'm really... I like to keep ahead of things, and I research and I study. And, like, again, some things might sound really radical, but down the road, they're going to be accurate.
Right. So let me ask you this, because the title of this program is The Myths of the Food Pyramid. So
mm-hmm.
why don't you tell us some of the myths of the food pyramid?
Oh, gee, there are so many. Well, let's start with low fat or no fat, which is very dangerous. I mean, people think that eating low fat, especially dieters, they're just convinced that if they take the fat out or they eat no fat, they're going to lose weight. Well, that is just so not true, because what happens is when people are taking the fat out, first of all, they're eating processed foods, because once they take the fat out, what are they adding back in for, like, that taste and that texture, which can't be replaced without a fat? They're just adding back sugar. And what does sugar turn into? Fat. But it's a different fat. I mean, years ago, they used to use in even snack foods, they were using coconut oil and palm oil, which are actually healthy fats. Yes, folks, they're healthy fats. I mean, most
right.
people know about coconut oil, but they don't know about palm oil. But the, pardon me, the vegetable oil industry, they went on this massive agenda about how bad they are because they're saturated. Of course, none of this was true, because if you look at anthropological studies, of, like, let's say people in Southeast Asia, and they're all using coconut oil. I mean, these people have beautiful skin. They're in the sun. They have no wrinkles. And people of, especially West Africa, where palm oil is really big, these are gorgeous people. I mean, they have no heart disease. They're tall. They have stunning skin. Then they don't have any diseases. So that whole thing about saturated fats causing heart disease is so bogus, because the vegetable oil industry, talk about industry ruling, has nothing to do with science. I mean, the food pyramid has zero to do with science. It's all about the industry. All those things that are in the food pyramid are based on what the industry wants you to eat. So the vegetable oil industry, which is huge in this country, is just told us we should be eating their vegetable oils. Their corn, safflower, sunflower, canola, which is really toxic, soybean oil. This is what they want us to eat, and they're telling us it's good for our hearts, which is nothing to be farthest from the truth, because these oils are so processed. First of all, when you're taking oil out of a seed or a nut, they're in there for a reason. When they're in a seed or a nut, the nut and the seed protects them from oil and from the air and heat. So when they're taking them out, they're using extreme temperatures to remove these oils from the nuts and the seeds. Now, if that's not bad enough, because these are called essential fats, and they're omega fats, and they're very unstable. So aside from them using extreme temperatures, the next step is they use a solvent. And generally that solvent is hexane, which comes from gasoline, to remove any extra oil from the nuts and seeds. Now, these oils are stored in these plastic bottles sitting on shelves with these lights, bombarded by lights. And everything in there is just one big toxic chemical, because there's nothing nutritious in there. All the fats in there are denatured, extremely damaged. Those oils are rancid. They put vitamin E in there, so you won't smell the rancidity. Of course, it's synthetic vitamin E. But this is what they're telling people to eat. And they have done studies where they've done autopsies on people that have died of heart disease, because they're always blaming cholesterol for heart disease. Meanwhile, most of the fat, that you know, lipids that were in there in these arteries, they were composed of vegetable oils. Omega-6 fats, which come from vegetable oils, and we have too many of them in the diet. I mean, years ago, I guess prehistoric times, or when Paleo Man was around, we had a ratio maybe 4-3 of essential oils of omega-6 to omega-3. Now the ratio is probably 20%, if not more, of omega-6 to omega-3. So these oils are so inflammatory. Not to say we shouldn't be getting them, but we should get them naturally, like cold-pressed sesame oil or cold-pressed safflower or sunflower, but in small amounts, black currant oil, barrage oil. But we need to get the omega-3s, which we're not getting. So this is one of the biggest things that's out there in terms of the food pyramid. You know, they have that top, which is so small, on the fats, but they don't tell you which fats are bad or good. They're just telling you, you know, eat a small amount. They're not talking about the trans fats and margarine. I mean, I think it was years ago, they were telling us that so far, the trans fats, they were going to remove them from foods. Well, they have not, or packaged foods. The restaurants still use them because they're very cheap. And technically, the companies don't have to list trans fats on a box if it's under a certain amount.
Right.
Which is very, you know, tricky and shady of them, as we all know they would do that. But these are things that they're still promoting. I mean, the food pyramid, and, you know, if you go to a doctor or a cardiologist or a regular dietitian, she'll still, or he will tell you should be eating margarine over butter, which is insane.
Right.
So people are still eating these hydrogenated fats, which are toxic. They're trans fats. They're known to cause so many health issues. I mean, heart disease and diabetes and cancer. I mean, these things are plastic. They literally plasticize our cell membranes.
Right. Just a quick question, because
sure.
You mentioned a lot of oils, but you didn't mention olive oil. Would you recommend olive oil?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes. Well, I recommend several fats. Fats are very good. See, I'm not an anorexic anymore, so I don't have any fat phobia like I used to. So olive oil is wonderful. Absolutely. It's a monounsaturated fat. It's known as an omega-9, same thing as avocados, which are wonderful. Now, if people want to fry, I don't recommend frying, but every so often we're human, we can do that. And again, it's providing you're not raw and you do cook. Sesame seed oil is wonderful for frying, deep frying, because it has a very high smoking point for anyone that knows anything about the biochemistry of fats. Also, coconut oil and palm oil, these are saturated fats, and they're very safe. Saturated means they don't have any double bonds, so they're not going to be breaking down and causing any bad effects. They're not going to turn into trans fats or hydrogenated fats through the processing of heating. So if you want to fry, these are the things to fry it. And again, I don't recommend it, but every so often it's okay to do that.
Right.
Other oils, again, the unprocessed oil, like a expeller press, maybe a peanut oil if you want more of an Asian taste, or sesame oil. And other fats, of course, I'm an omnivore, so I do recommend butter. However, I recommend organic butter, or if you can get butter from a local farmer, from unpasteurized cream, which we're not going to go into that, as that it's a bit of a controversial issue, so we're not going to go there. But I do recommend certain animal fats as well. Again, providing they are rendered from animals that are healthy and they're not stuffed with hormones and antibiotics and they're grass-fed. And these fats are available from certain farmers. I mean, years ago, people were using lard and rendered fat from beef. So these things, while, you know, we think they're very bad, they're really not if they are rendered from healthy animals. So we need some of the animal fats, we need some of the vegetable fats, and of course we can't forget about the omega-3 fats. These are also essential fats because the body does not make them. And these will come from fish oils or algae, because that's what happens. Well, fish will eat algae and plankton. This is how they get their omega-3s. So these are very, very important because most people are low in that, whether they're eating, if they're not eating fish. And again, fish is also contaminated. But again, we would stop eating everything. We thought about everything. But we will get there, providing the fish is, it's grown, you know, it's raised in the sea and not farm-raised. I don't know if you're familiar with farm-raised.
I'm familiar with farm-raised and know enough to stay away from it.
Because it's
like they raise the chickens and they raise them in confinement and they have the fish
terrible.
In confinement. And it's
right.
What they feed them is basically horrific. The fish are not free. They're not, you know, they're in a little pool and, you know, it's like a septic tank almost.
Exactly. And because of that, because there's so many contaminants in it, they have to put in a lot of antibiotics. You're not getting the omega-3s in there because they're eating corn, pretty much corn and soy. And
right.
Also, you can manufacturers can give you a color to pick. So if you want that salmon to be that peach color, this is real, folks. I'm not making this up. I don't stay up at night to like dream about this. You can pick out the colors you want your salmon to look like, and this is all biotech stuff. And
right.
This is how you can get a salmon that'll look so, you know, peachy, but
right.
It's not real. You're not getting those nutrients from salmon that's raised from the sea. They're not eating the plankton. They're not eating the algae. You're not getting the omega-3s. You're getting vegetable oils, the corn and the soy and all the antibiotics in there and everything else that's in there.
Right. So what you would recommend is salmon from the wild.
Wild salmon. Yes.
Yep.
And again, it's not cheap, folks. It's expensive. So you have to budget yourself. Another thing that you might, again, this is, you know, people that do eat fish, sardines. These have a lot of omega-3. They're small. They're cheap. I mean, if you like that taste, I mean, you can dress them up. And the fact that they're small means they have less contaminants in there because they're very low on the food chain. So they're pretty small.
Right.
And they're cheap, and they have plenty of omega-3s in there. And if you happen to like the skin and the bones, well, that's even better. You'll get more calcium out of that. Not everybody will do that. I happen to like them like that. But And they're inexpensive, so we don't have to always go for the wild salmon, which can be pretty pricey. And we could also supplement with fish oils, which I highly recommend, especially people with certain conditions, inflammatory conditions or health, cardiac issues, circulatory issues. I mean, omega-3 is so important. These are extremely important fats for the brain, cardiovascular, the immune system. I mean, I can't stress them enough.
Right. And how would an individual changing, eating more whole food, more vegetables in their life, how would this change their vitality? How would this change their energy level?
It would make such a tremendous change in their energy because, first of all, if they're eating green, there's so much life in green. There's so much chlorophyll. And I do recommend that people eat, you know, good green salad day, some raw vegetables, although I don't recommend all raw vegetables. I'm going to go over the ones that are not recommended raw. But eating raw, you're going to get the enzymes in there. And that's very important because we're all eating cooked foods, we're eating processed foods. There are no enzymes in there. And because there are no enzymes, we're going to have digestive issues. And we only have a certain amount of enzymes that we're born with. There's like a bank. And once you run out of that bank, there are no more. So when we're eating raw foods, those provide enzymes. And those are great because they help us to digest. And digestion is very important because if we're digesting, that means the body's breaking that down. And we're going to assimilate the nutrients from those digested foods. So eating those luscious green salads and vegetables is just so important. There's so many minerals in there and so many nutrients. And, again, the chlorophyll, which is pretty close to iron, it's really important for your blood. It cleans your blood and it gives you a lot of energy. It's just, and on an emotional level, I mean, I know when I eat more greens, like some days I feel like I don't eat enough, or if I have like some greens, I feel so good after that.
Right.
But people have to start slow because their digestive system isn't up to par. But I recommend, you know, start with a small salad, some apple cider, some organic raw apple cider vinegar. It'll help the digestion going. It'll help with the protein digestion. Not that there's protein in the salads, but in terms of breaking down the protein that you're eating with your salad, it'll help with digestion. So it's very important. So they need to start out slow because, I mean, I have patients that don't eat vegetables, and that's a challenge to get them to at least start with a salad and maybe like broccoli and maybe a Brussels sprout or some spinach. But, I mean, eventually I've gotten them all to eat vegetables, but I can't stress them enough. I mean, I think if there's something that we all agree on, whether it's me or all the other 99% of the dietitians out there, is that we need to be eating vegetables and fruits to a certain extent. So I think that's something we all agree on, and I cannot stress those enough.
Well, you mentioned the word assimilation.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, from the research I've done, that many people's colons are blocked, and there's a big problem with assimilating food.
Mm-hmm.
What types of detox programs do you recommend for people, and what do you recommend for people to help them clean the colon so that they can, you know, it's one thing to have good digestion,
mm-hmm.
but it's another thing to be able to absorb the food into the bloodstream.
Absolutely. And most people, so many people have so many gastrointestinal issues. They have GERD or they have IBS or colitis. And most people are, well, not most, but I'm going to say a lot of my patients and a lot of people around, they're constipated. They don't eliminate properly. So those toxins are pretty much being recirculated because the blood circulates the GI tract, gastrointestinal tract, several times. I don't know if it's per hour or minute. Don't quote me on that. But it just recirculates. So all those toxins in the colon that have not been released and removed, they're just recirculating. So this is one reason why sometimes people feel so yucky. They're like lethargic. They don't feel good because those toxins are just recirculating. So the first thing to do is we need to get those refined carbohydrates out, that white flour. It's like paste. It literally is causing paste in the GI tract. So that's one thing. Of course, adding the vegetables, adding some roughage, some fiber if we need that. I'll also use some supplements like magnesium citrate. I mean, if it's really bad, I will recommend colonics. I mean, not that it has to be that bad. It depends on where the client is. If they're that open to it, I will send them for colonics.
Right.
If they're not, then I'm going to, you know, work from the other way and just, again, cleaning out their diet, getting the right fats in, getting them to drink water because a lot of people don't get enough hydration in. They're not hydrated.
How many cups of water do you recommend for people a day?
Yeah, I don't know that I have that recommendation. I mean, I used to use that, you know, half your body weight. But I think everybody's, like, individual. I mean, granted, most people are dehydrated, but they need to drink more than they're drinking, and they need to drink water. When I talk about fluids, I'm not talking about coffee or tea or juices. I'm talking about water because water is what hydrates. Coffee dehydrates. It pulls water out of your tissue. So that'll actually make you more constipated. Although in some people, coffee will stimulate a bowel movement. So I do leave that if that's the case. And, again, I'm not a Puritan where I tell people they can't have any coffee. That's ridiculous. If you're drinking 10 cups, I'm going to have a problem with that. If you're drinking one or two, I'm going to be okay with that because, you know, there's balance. And if we take away everything, it's not going to be pleasurable.
Right.
But getting back to cleaning out the colon, it is essential. I use certain products. I use a lot of products by Standard Process, and we have certain fibers. We have a detox program that we use for, it's 21 days. It's basically a lot of vegetables, fruit, some light whey protein, some light proteins like chicken and fish, and it's just a 21-day, it's really a purification program to get that gut going, get it cleaned out, get that colon cleaned out. And then once that happens, we're able to assimilate the nutrients because, like you said, we can have the best diet, the best nutrients, but if those villi, the little finger-like projections in the gut where the food and the nutrients are absorbed, if those are damaged or they're just filled up with junk, no nutrients are going to get through the bloodstream. We're not getting any nutrients. We're just getting calories but no nutrients. So it is so important to have a clean colon because I think someone said that death or life starts in the colon. I forget which one, but it's one of those, and it's so true.
Right.
It is so true. Mm-hmm.
Right, and I know one of the labors of Hercules was cleaning out the colon. So
yes.
It's been with us since antiquity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we have such a problem talking about that in our society. When it's just, I mean, a part of when I sit down with a patient and I'll ask them about their bowel movements, they look at me like, is she kidding? I'm like, no, I'm not kidding. We need to know. This is nutrition. So I need to know what you're eating and what's coming out the other end. Is it, you know, are you eliminating every day? And they think it's quite normal to go every few days where it's not. You know, we're so indoctrinated in this culture to not talk about that or that it's okay to be constipated, which it's not.
For lack of better words, most people are very constipated.
It's so true.
And that's really blocking the absorption and really blocking their whole path to their spirit.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. The energy, Juliana, yes.
We are, you know, it's funny, this hour goes quick, and we're into the last 2 minutes. So,
oh, my goodness.
So, again, let me just say something, and then I'd like you to give your information again so people can contact you.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say to the audience, from listening to Juliana and having this conversation, you see that she offers more than the normal nutritionist because she's done a lot of research, she's got a lot of information, and she also combines the emotional part with the tapping and the spiritual part. And just from talking to you and knowing some of the books you read, like we talked about, Robert Collier's
right.
The Secret of All Ages, where we're really talking about using the mind to heal.
Mm-hmm.
So what Juliana brings that, for me, is different than most nutritionists. She's working with your mind, she's working with your body, and working with your spirit to bring you to a state of wholeness, which is when you start to get there, then you start to get spiritually sound and realize the power that you have in your in the fact that you are a spiritual being. So I just want to say thank you for sharing this information and doing the research and bringing this information with such a passion to, you know, your clients, to this audience, and to the world, because, you know, who knows who will listen to this.
Well,
so
thank you so much.
Again,
it was a pleasure being here, and thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Right, and again, just give people your information so that they can contact you.
Sure.
And,
sure. So, again, it's Juliana Mazzeo, and my website is www.nymedicalnutrition.com. My phone number is 516-593-5167, or you can email me at info@nymedicalnutrition.com. And it was such a pleasure to be on the show, and thank you for the call. I thank the caller for calling in and whoever else is listening. It was so much fun doing this, Michael. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. And let me just give you a little information. This is Michael Collins, with Journey to Success Radio. I am the author of the book Ushering in the Golden Age, Elevate Your Consciousness. My website is www.michaelrobincollins.com. And again, thank you, and look forward to hearing from people, and hope everybody has enjoyed this information.
Thank you. God bless.
Yeah.
Good night, everyone.
Yep.